The very first Easter was not a crowded worship space with singing and praising. On the very first Easter, the disciples were locked in their houses. It was dangerous for them to come out. They were afraid. They wanted to believe the good news they had heard from the women, that Jesus had risen, but it seemed too good to be true. They were living in a time of such despair and such fear. If they left their homes, their lives and the lives of their loved ones might be at risk. Could a miracle really have happened? Could life really have won over death? Could this time of terror and fear really be coming to an end? Alone in their homes, they dared to believe that hope was possible, that the long night was over and morning had broken, that God's love was the most powerful of all, even though it didn't seem quite real yet. Eventually, they were able to leave their homes. When the fear and the danger had subsided, they went around celebrating and spreading the good news that Jesus had risen and love was the most powerful force on earth. This year, we might get to experience a taste of what that first Easter was like. Still in our homes, daring to believe that hope is on the horizon. Then after a while, when it is safe for all people, when it is the most loving choice, we will come out, gather together, sing and shout the good news that God brings life even out of death, that love always has the final say. This year, we might get the closest taste we have had yet to what that first Easter was like.
Home Community Church family, welcome to our podcast. We're so glad that you decided to join us today. I'd like to encourage you at this time to get some coffee, get your favorite tea, pick up your Bibles, and make yourselves comfortable. Tell your kids to join us because we've got a special surprise for them today too. Sing along, read the Word, and celebrate with us this Easter Sunday. Our Lord and Savior is risen. Amen. Amen. Today is the day, church. Today is the day that Jesus conquered the grave. Again, I just want to say thank you for joining us on the podcast this morning. My name is Michael Metzger, and I'm the Sunday School Superintendent here at Home Church. We're so excited to celebrate Easter Sunday with each and every one of you. We have just a few announcements this morning before we move into our time of worship in the Word. Kids, I promised you a surprise. I've got a special guest with me today who wants to say hi. Please help me and welcome Miss Anita.
Hi, kids. It's Miss Anita. Happy Easter. Easter has not been canceled this year. We are celebrating, just doing it a little differently this year. I sure miss your hugs and your smiles, but soon we will be together again. Have you been getting my letters? How are you doing on memorizing John 3:16? Let's take a couple minutes. Can you say it with me now? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him will not die, but will have eternal life. It will be great when we can all be together and say it together. Jesus told us that we should be nice not only to our friends, but to the people and family around us. One good way to show that we love God is to love others, even the ones who are hard to get along with. Nobody is perfect. So unfortunately, there will always be someone around who bugs you or makes you mad. Instead of giving that person a dirty look, or maybe some mean words, surprise that person with kindness. Remember that each time you help another person, God says you have helped him. If you would like to do something to help the Lord today, be kind to someone. Now, about that kid in my letters named Robert. He has had a really hard time showing kindness to others. He has been getting into trouble. Some really deep trouble. But let me tell you, Robert's troubles are just beginning. Robert and Brutus almost fall into a deep pit and get covered up with lots of mud. And we all know Brutus loves mud. Soon you will meet his cousin Patty, and she just doesn't understand why Robert says he loves God and acts out the way he does. Patty starts a rescue for Robert and gets in trouble herself. Thank goodness God loves us and is always with us. More to come. Look for your letter in the mail. This summer will be time for Vacation Bible School. Do you remember it from last year? One of our Bible lessons has to do with ooey, gooey chocolate brownies. Can you think of a Bible story that talks about brownies? Get ready, because the Vacation Bible School train is coming. That's right. I said train. When we are together again, so many things are happening. One has to do with roly things. Another Sunday, you get to open up something. And another Sunday, you have 12 holes to fill. Remember that each time you help another person, God says you have helped him. If you would like to do something to help the Lord today, be kind to someone. I am sending big hugs, and always remember that God loves you, and so do I.
Thank you, Miss Anita. I just want to say thank you to Miss Jane as well for all of the work that you and Miss Anita do with our children. They love you, and they miss you guys just as much. All right, church, just a friendly reminder that the church offices will remain closed through April the 30th due to the COVID virus. I just have to take a second and brag on our church. I have to say that we belong to an amazing church family. Here at Home Church, we've been so blessed to have individuals who are reaching out to help during this time. Nancy Winders has graciously made masks and is offering them to anyone who needs them. If you are interested or would like more information, please contact Jeannie Adams. I also mentioned last week that Pastor Carlos would be holding a study on April the 15th that we're all invited to. We are starting a home church YouTube channel, and Pastor Carlos is going to be posting his pastor's study video on April the 15th, which is this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions or worries about living through the times that we are in, please email Pastor Carlos at cgarcia@sparksnaz.org so that he can address these questions on his pastor study video. We will send out an email link to the home church channel and the video. Our Facebook page will also have a link to this video as well on the 15th. I'm really excited about what God is doing. Please be sure to join us. We're now going to move into a time of giving and worship. Thank you for all those who have been faithful in your tithes and offerings. Please continue to give online or by mailing in a check. If you can't give online or you don't have a check, please reach out to myself or another board or staff member. We'll be sure to make arrangements to make sure that your tithe or offering is received to honor God and keep supporting his work here at Home Church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are our magnificent God, and your name is great in all the earth. Father, we give you our offerings as an expression of our love to you. You've said, whatever we give is acceptable if we give it eagerly. You've said that we should give according to what we have. Help us, Father, to bring our offerings with an eager heart. Let us do this as an act of worship to you. We pray that our gifts would be used to extend your kingdom in our land. And Father God, as we prepare to worship together on this Easter Sunday, let us not forget how you look down on us in mercy and grace. Father, you sent your one and only Son to redeem us. Father, we rejoice in your gracious love and compassion. Let us lift your name on high as we sing your praises this morning. May we find comfort that we desire in you and the strength that we need in your name. May your presence always be with us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. Lord, once again, we are just in awe of you today, Lord. We're in awe of your presence. But most importantly, Lord, we are in awe, Lord, that you would lay down your life for us, that you would shed your blood for us on that cross. We thank you for your resurrection power, that you rose again on the third day. We ask your blessing today upon your worship, upon your word, as we exalt you, Lord, as we enthrone you as King, in your precious name.
Washes white as snow.
the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burning of my heart roll away. It was there by
so good. Sing with me, victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
One, two, one, two, three.
Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. There is power, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. One more time, there is power, there is power, power. We worship you, God. We thank you so much for your presence. We ask your blessing upon your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. Oh, we serve a good God. Amen. Amen. So, real quick, I want to remind you, we will be taking communion this morning. So, maybe grab some crackers and some juice, but I'll give you some time a little later in the service to do that. So just a reminder, we're going to be reading out of Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Luke chapter 24. So, church, this last Friday, our Savior, our King, our Lord, was betrayed by one of his own disciples. The religious leaders of that day had him captured and taken to Pontius Pilate, right? The blameless Son of God was then beat, nailed, and hung on a cross to die. Then they laid him in a tomb, rolled the stone in front of it, just like they had done to so many other people. But Jesus is like no other person. We missed a good spot to say amen right there. He has risen from the dead. Amen. He has resurrected just like he said he would. He has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Matter of fact, he went down to hell and gave the devil a black eye. And church, now all of hell is trembling because the temple they thought they destroyed, he rebuilt himself just like he said he would. He has risen. Our God has risen. Can I get an amen? It's Sunday morning, right? It's Sunday morning, and the women go to the tomb and meet an angel. And what does the angel say? Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? Just maybe this morning, we're missing the presence of God. We're missing his resurrection, his power. Because we're searching in wrong places. They're looking for the living among the dead. He is not here. He is not here. He has risen. And you see, Jesus right here only has about 40 days to show the world that he is resurrected. Until he's taken up again to be seated at the right hand of the Father. So he has to go out and show the world he is risen so they may believe in his power and his resurrection. So, where does he go first? What does he do? Put yourself in Jesus' shoes right now. 3 days ago, you died, and today you rose from the grave. What do you do? I don't know about you, but I'm excited. What does Jesus do? Does he go back to Pontius Pilate and say, "Guess what, man, I'm back"? Maybe he heads to Times Square, right? And holds a big meeting. No? Maybe he calls Mark Zuckerberg of that time and says, "Hey, Mark, we need to talk." Or maybe he calls Bill Gates. I don't know. Maybe he gets a hold of Fox News and CNN and says, "Hey, we got to make a meme out of this. We got to." What does Jesus do on the day when he rises from the grave? What does he do? You might be surprised, because what he does next is he takes a walk. Who wants to go on a walk this morning? I know you're sitting at home, you're saying, "Well, I ain't going nowhere." That's fine. But mentally, why don't you put some shoes on? Let's strap up, let's suit up, and let's go for a walk this morning. Matter of fact, this walk is a 7-mile journey. Who wants to come with me? I've entitled this sermon, Your Personal Road to Emmaus. And we're going to be reading out of Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. What does he do? Starting in verse 13, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. Verse 17, he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priest and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are,' Jesus says here, 'how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. Verse 29, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Verse 31, then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." This story, for me personally, is eye-opening. This trip to Emmaus encourages me and reminds me of life situations even today. Here's Jesus. It's Sunday morning. He gets up from the grave, sees these two men. One we know is named Cleopas. The other one we don't know, right? But what I want to point out is something important here. In my mind, these two men are going the wrong direction. They're going to the wrong place. The promise is back at Jerusalem, right? But what is so awesome here is Jesus goes after them while their backs are turned on the promise. They're walking away from Jerusalem. Their hearts are broken. It's over. They have watched Jesus die. And in their minds, there's no future. And that kind of thinking now, that pain bleeds down into their heart, which now has no more faith. They're going back to Emmaus. But this is what's so awesome about our God. If you have turned your back on Jesus, he's here to come back to you. They're going the wrong way. And what's crazy, if they really believed he was going to raise from the dead, they would have stayed in Jerusalem at least until Sunday night, right? They would have stayed in Jerusalem at least till evening. I mean, maybe Monday morning too. I mean, you never know, Monday morning. Hey, maybe we're missing it here. Let's hold on a little bit. But they didn't. And God follows them to the wrong place. Because grace, like it has done to me, will chase you down. So here's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Here's the one who died, who rose, who knows everything, who knows the thoughts of your heart. And he goes up to these guys and he says, "What are you talking about?" Like he doesn't know, right? Like Jesus doesn't know. And I'll be honest, everything in this story for me doesn't make sense. We know Jesus is the answer, yet Jesus, in verse 17, he's asking a question. Right? Jesus is the answer. Jesus knows everything, but yet he's asking a question. I believe he's doing this because he wants and desires a relationship in everything he does. Everything in this text, like I said, does not make sense to me. Jesus is going towards Emmaus. He's also going away from Jerusalem. And that doesn't make sense to me. Right? Talking to people who don't seem important. I don't know about you. I never heard of Cleopas in the Bible. That doesn't make sense to me. He just got up from the grave. You think he would go hang out with some happy people, some people who are excited to see him, but yet he goes to these two individuals who are brokenhearted. And that does make sense to me. But look at verse 19. So now Jesus is talking to them, and they're explaining to him about what has happened, all the despair, the death, their expectations. And right in the middle of all this, Jesus himself is standing right there. But they're kept from recognizing him. Church, brothers and sisters, have you been kept from recognizing Jesus? Recognizing his resurrection? Even when it's right in front of you? I know I have, because sometimes as humans we look for God in the big things, right? We look for God in those amazing moments, but sometimes God shows up in what this world would say is small and insignificant. Just like when he came as a baby. And I can go through scripture and talk all day about things that were small, people who were small and insignificant, but what Christ will show up in those moments. Again, it didn't say that they couldn't recognize him or they didn't recognize him. It said they were kept from recognizing him. And I ask myself, how many times have I been kept from recognizing him? I just added this the other night. How many times have I been kept from recognizing simple moments of joy because I was waiting on things to be perfect? How many times have I missed a miracle because all I see is the problem? How many times did I miss a moment to give something to give, but instead I was so centered on myself? They did not receive it. They did not recognize it. And they were kept from recognizing. Right? Cleopas is, he's upset. You know, he tells Jesus what happened. You see, Jesus was supposed to be this powerful man. He was this, he was amazing. And in the, you know, verse 19 and 21, he says he was. He uses this word, he was. He was, and there Jesus is, right? But verse 21, but we had hoped that he was. He was. And he's right there. Church, are you missing what is? What can be because you're stuck in what was? Verse 21, we had hoped. We had hoped. Hope that is seen is not hope at all. And if you had hoped and don't hope anymore, what you had wasn't real hope. Because real hope will hold on even on Friday. I hoped it would be over by now. I've been saying that lately. I hoped the medicine would have fixed it. I hoped. We have hoped, we hoped, and hope is standing right in front of them. Verse 24, then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. When I read that right there, church, this is so crazy and ironic. In the scripture, they did not see Jesus. He's telling Jesus about other people not seeing Jesus, and yet Jesus is standing right in front of him. I don't know, are you seeing that with me? He's telling Jesus that they don't see Jesus, but yet Jesus is standing right there. And this for me personally reminds me, you know, it's easy to judge somebody else's situation and not even realize what God is trying to do in your own life. Right? And I love verse 25, and I also feel for these guys because you have to understand, put your guys in these guys' shoes. They're walking, they're mourning. And here Jesus, in this verse here, in verse 25, 26, he says, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did the Messiah not have to suffer these things to enter in his glory? Jesus said, how foolish you are. Again, put yourself in these guys' shoes. They're just talking, minding their own business, and somebody comes up to them and tells them how foolish. I'll be honest with you. Let's be real. I know you sitting at home. If you're mourning someone's death and someone comes to you and says how foolish you are, we would be upset, right? Like, hey, man, who are you? What are you talking about? Get out of here. But yet their hearts are open and they're listening and receiving what Jesus has to say. And this reminds me of being in church sometimes and listening to what is being preached. Sometimes it's not easy to hear, right? But as we open and as we're on our personal road, right? Our personal walk with God, our personal walk in this life, we need to listen and be open to what God wants to say to us. And I love this part because it reminds me of how foolish I can be sometimes, right? And Jesus continues talking about the prophets and the scriptures. And as they're approaching the village, in verse 28, as they approach the village to which they were going, it said Jesus continued on as if he was going further. I want to stop right there. Jesus continued on. So they're stopping, and Jesus is moving on. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. I love these verses because it shows me that Jesus comes to us as humans, right? Desiring a relationship. And he wants to visit with us. He wants to talk with us and walk with us and listen to us. If I was God, and I would have right away would have said, what are you guys talking about? But yet he listens to us. The God of the universe listening to us. Right? But there will come a time when he will continue going forward, and we will have to make a choice to invite him in. But when we do that, when the world does that, the one who said there is no God invites him in, then he will make himself known to us. I want to go to verse 30. Verse 30 right now. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Verse 31. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Jesus is so amazing. He doesn't barge right into their house. He doesn't just walk in and say, "Hey guys, I'm coming in with you." No, he continues they invite him in. But once they invite him in, do you notice how Jesus now all of a sudden takes over? I'm going to warn you out there, for those who are maybe on the fence, I'm going to tell you right now, when Jesus comes into your life, he will start taking over some things. Just like he took over the bread, he walked into this house, this guest, Jesus as a guest walked into this house, and now he becomes the host, and he starts breaking bread, giving thanks, and then they recognized him. Recognized. I want to look at this word recognized. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but recognized. This word recognized, I dug a little deeper, and what Luke is trying to say here in the Greek, this word is gnosiko. Somebody say gnosiko. Gnosiko. Gnosiko means to know, to recognize, to know, especially through personal experience. Gnosiko. You know, sometimes in life we will have a family member or a childhood friend that we're real close to, right? And life has a way of pulling us apart, especially before Facebook, right? You know, years go by, and there's the high school reunion, the family reunion, and you can bump shoulders with this lost loved one and not even recognize the person because the relationship is no longer there. Right? There's no. So my question to you is, can you recognize Jesus? Can you recognize his voice? Gnosiko. Gnosiko. I love verse 32. They asked each other after this, were not our hearts burning within us? Well, he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. Were our hearts not burning within us? Church, I want to say, as we open the word and read and listen to what he has to say, as the word is being preached, we must have heart like these men. Yes, they're hurt. Yes, they're hurt. Yes, they're upset. Yes, I'm sure these two guys were confused, angry, scared because their hope seemed lost. But their hearts were open to what Jesus had to say. And they invited Jesus in. Right? And that burning you feel in your heart when the word is being preached, or when we're listening to a song or talking to other believers, when you invite him in, it will turn into recognizing him. And you will know him personally, even after death. Gnosiko. I want to ask you, as I close, as you are going through trials in life, hang-ups, betrayals, mistakes, we all go through these. But do you recognize Jesus on your personal road to Emmaus? Right? Can you recognize his voice? Can you sense? Or are we like so caught up in our own, right, that God can be reaching out through the airwaves right now? God can be bringing life to a stop to try to get our attention. And he could be standing right next to us while we're sitting at home, while we're in the car, and we don't even recognize him. Again, this is so backwards to me, folks. Can you imagine if you were with Jesus when he rose from the grave and you were like his manager or agent and you're like, Jesus, okay, wow, you did it. All right, let's hit the streets. We gotta go to Times Square. We only got 40 days. Let's go talk to some important people, right? Let's get this. But Jesus, instead, he goes to two people who nobody knows. And some would say are important. On a road that no one cares about, and into a house that anyone of importance would probably not go into. But he says, no. There's a lot going on, but I want to go on a walk because there are two guys who are hurting, and I'm hoping they invite me in. Church. Our Savior has risen from the dead, defeated the grave. He has been walking with you and I for the last past, 20, 25, 30 minutes. My question is, will you invite him in? Will you invite Jesus in? He wants to break bread with you. Wants to show himself real to you. And he's here with you right now. He's with you right now. And if you don't know him, you can. And my prayer is that right now you just accept him to be your Lord and Savior, that you just receive him into your heart. That you confess, Lord, I need a Savior. I need you. I don't really understand all this, but I just know that I've tried everything and I'm still empty. There's still this hole in my heart. There's this void. And I need you. And I do believe we're going to break bread with Jesus this morning. Who's ready to break some bread with the risen King? For those who are listening right now, I want you to grab whatever you have. If you have bread, crackers, juice, we're going to take communion together. Amen. I'll give you about a minute to go do that and prepare yourself for the receiving of his life, his blood, his body. I said, oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Sing it with me, church. I sing about, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It's only the blood. Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. Take the bread. Verse 25, in the same way after supper he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. Take the cup. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning, that we could come together online, by phone, and worship you. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your love, for your resurrection. Thank you for going back and preparing a beautiful place for us. Thank you, God, that you give us the opportunity to worship you, to sing to you, and to talk about your majesty. It's your blood. It's only the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ is risen from the dead. The angel upon the tombstone said he has risen, just as he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he is risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia, alleluia. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you can be healed right now. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ, he will reveal it now. The angels, they all surround us, and they are ministering Jesus' power. This could be your glorious hour. Joy to the world, he is risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia. Jesus Christ is no longer